You guys, I'm so thankful to be here. We got a lot of good news going on around us. I want to talk today about this unbelievable resurrection that is actually believable enough that it changed everything for everybody who would believe. So let me ask you, what is gospel? Do you know what that word means? It means good news. What's some good news besides the fact, the best fact ever, that Jesus came, died, rose from the dead? What's some good news that we can get today? What do you think? Some good news. I asked my mom, hey, what's good news to you? And she's, you know, an amazing Scotch-Irish redheaded woman. She said, baby, I'm 3 months in a row of not getting blood treatment for my MDS. She is terminally ill with cancer. And she said, look, my blood has been so good that I haven't had to have these. They think I'm a poster child for this, that I might be having this extended play. Might, they told her that she was supposed to be dead over 3 years ago. And not over 3 years ago, but after 3 years she'd be gone, and that was over 3 years ago. And so that was great news for me, good news. I know another guy who said, look, my neighbor just won one of those things where you get groceries for a year. I'm like, okay, that's some good news. So what is some good news? What could you find out that's good news that would, like, really stoke you out? What is it? Are you for real? Yes, hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Congratulations, Olsons. Oh, my goodness. You got a baby coming. That's so good news. Excellent. Anybody else? What's some good news that you got? I asked people this the last few days, and they're like, I don't know. I woke up. I'm breathing. I'm like, cool. That's good news. We can start somewhere, right? Answered prayer. Thanks, Peter. Look, I'm going to tell you the best news ever. And with all respect, the good news that we have outside of this good news I'm going to talk about is going to change eventually. My mother said, look, I don't understand, but I'm doing really well. But one day, I'm going to be gone. Those groceries will be gone. These amazing babies will grow up and not be babies anymore. Life is full of all kinds of things that change. But what about you being changed by the gospel? Let's look at what the gospel is. This good news that I love to be able to share with you, that many of you know. I mean, you're here on Easter, for goodness sake, you probably already know. But is it okay to repeat good news? I'm gonna tell everybody, you blurted it out. I'm telling people, you're pregnant. Congratulations. I want good news to spread like wildfire. But the best news ever hasn't stopped being good news 2,000 plus later. So let's go. Would you join me in 1 Corinthians 15? Again, if you don't have Bibles, there's going to be this up on the screen for you, or you could go right there in the app. Here's the good news. Now, I would remind you, brothers, let me give you a point of understanding in this culture. That word brothers is Adelphoi, or Adelphi, depending on how you want to pronounce it. It means brothers and sisters. If there's just brothers, just men in the crowd, it would just be brothers. If there was just one man but 999 women, they would say brothers. It means brothers and sisters when sisters are present. But that was their culture. And this guy that wrote this actually loved women and esteemed women and gave them props in all of his letters. He's a great dude, but he recognized that women and men were included. And so for you, when you see this other times in here where it says brothers, it'll say brothers and sisters, I'll say brothers and sisters. Understand that he wanted everybody to be reminded of the good news. So I wanted to remind you, brothers and sisters, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you're being saved. Look, I used to think that you just pray once and you're saved. True, but you're being saved every day from all kinds of different things. losing track of the good news. You can be saved from that. Losing track of the fact that you have not only been forgiven, but you get to live like it. You get reminded to do that. So being saved is good. You don't have to be saved every day. Oh gosh, I hope I pray today so I don't die and go to hell. That's not it. But he's saying you believe this, you stand in it, and you're being saved if you hold fast to the word that I preach to you, unless you believed in vain. You know what it means to believe in vain? Believe for nothing. You didn't actually believe it. You said it. You had a moment. And I'm up here and I'm going to ask people to consider this good news over and over again. But some people believe in vain. It makes no difference in their life. They're not changed by it. They just give it a nod. If I believe that an umbrella keeps the water from hitting me and yet I won't use it, I haven't believed it. If you believe, then you get to stand in it. You get to receive it. You get to share it. And you're saved by it. And then he says what the good news is. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received. I didn't just hang on to it. I handed it out. I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures. That he was buried and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. What's super cool is that he's talking about the Old Testament. Do you know the Old Testament pointed that we needed a Savior and that a Savior is going to come, the Savior is going to die, and the Savior is going to rise again? He's saying this is good news. It's been around for a long time. And now he's writing this 2,000 years ago. This good news is still good news today. For all of us that would receive it and believe it and walk in it. Our sins? Look, I was backing out of my friend's driveway quite a few years ago. And I knocked over their little standard at the end of their driveway. Broke it. Wouldn't it be weird if the neighbor next door jumped out and goes, oh, don't worry about it. You're forgiven. Be like, what? That wasn't yours. I gotta go talk to my friend. No, don't worry about it. I didn't knock over that guy's stuff. I knocked over my friend's stuff. But my friend was quick to forgive. Don't worry about it. It happens all the time. Then part of me is like, then why don't you move it? Right? It's like, but I mean, if it happens all the time and you're forgiving people, okay, cool. Jesus is the one that we sinned against, and he forgives us. He paid our sin debt by his own death. This is good news. But friends, it gets even better. He didn't stay dead. He rose from the dead. He defeated death too. And death is a big, fat bummer for all of us. But he overcame that. That's the good news. And this is all in accordance with the scriptures. So what's the good news again? Let me repeat it so you might actually take this and share it with people. Christ died for our sins. He was buried and he was raised on the third day. Great news. What should we do with it? We should preach it. We should receive it. We should stand in it. We should be saved by it. We should hold on to it. And we should believe it. For real. And that makes all the difference. The whole gospel. And so there was people that were changed by the whole gospel. Join me back again in 1 Corinthians 15. So he says, here's what all the gospel is. He rose from the dead on the third day. Verse 4, verse 5 says, and he appeared to Cephas, or Kepha. And that was another name for Peter. Now, let's just try to put our minds around something. Simon, Peter, Kepha, all of these are names for Peter. Anybody got a nickname? Two of you, three of you, right, few of us, all right. Some of you are like, please don't ask me what it is. Okay, I got you. But here's what's up. Jesus, as Zach just shared with you, appeared to Peter personally. He also appeared to the 12. These are his actual closest disciples. And then He appeared to more than 500 brothers and sisters at one time, most of all who are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. I love this. In the Bible, a lot of time they say fallen asleep because if you're dead in Christ, you rise again. You will keep living. Then he appeared to James, which is his half-brother. Then to all the apostles, which isn't just the 12. This is messengers. This is people sent out. These are missionaries. And last of all, he says, as to one untimely born, he appeared to also me. This is Paul, and we're going to hear more about him in just a second. But I want to look at these seven people that we just heard about, or at least people groups that were changed by the resurrection. The first one I'm going to mention, you didn't even see here, except it said brothers and sisters. Paul mentions all kinds of people that he appeared to. But the first person that Jesus appeared to when he rose from the dead was a woman. Her name is Mary. If you will, join me in Mark 16 really quick. Again, Zach stole a good chunk of my message. I'd be mad, but it's really good to repeat good news. So, here we go. Mark 16. I want you to know that through all the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that's Gospels, the good news, sharing this good news, these guys tell this story, all four of them tell this story. I'm not even sharing the part where he showed himself. I'm asking you to take this show on the road and read the rest of this week. Read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Pick one of them and read about how these people were changed by the resurrected Jesus, the whole gospel. So he didn't just die for our sins. He rose from the dead. But here it is. Mark 16:1. When the Sabbath was passed, that's Saturday for them, they did Friday sundown to Saturday sundown, they would do nothing, no real work whatsoever. But when that day had passed, Jesus died on Friday, they were like, woe is us on Saturday, and now we're going to go anoint his body. Check this out on Sunday. Mary, the mother of James and Salome and Mary Magdalene, bought spices so they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, Sunday, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. And they were saying to one another, who rolled away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb? And looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled back. It was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe, and they were alarmed. They're expecting to see a dead guy in there named Jesus. Instead, they see a guy wearing a white robe. Now, some of you are like, oh, man, I've been to some of those Easter pageants. It's cute when the kids wear that robe. This wasn't just like some daddy's robe on a kid. It says that he was actually dressed in white so bright that you couldn't bleach it that white. And in another one, it's two of them. One of them talks, but there's two there. These are angels. And the first thing they say, hey, don't be alarmed. What? I was expecting dead people in here, and you're saying don't be alarmed? And listen, why? You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He's not here. See the place where they laid him? But go tell his disciples and Peter. I love those two words. I think except for but God, in the Bible, those two words together, but God, these are my favorite ones. And Peter. And all the stuff that Zach said about Peter, he blew it. He was afraid. He was scared. He ran away. He denied Jesus. Wherever you feel like you're at today, Jesus knows you and sees you, and he rose from the dead. And so you hear this. Go tell his disciples who all ran away and Peter who denied him that he's going before you to Galilee. There you see him just as he told you. And like I said, I want to encourage you to go and read the rest, how these women actually finally went and told people about it, even after they were scared, and their lives were changed. Paul, the one that wrote this, identifies women as amazing and powerful. Women, you make a huge difference. And maybe just like these women, you can be, if you're not already, changed by the gospel. But we saw Peter, and we'll talk way more about him over the course of the year. So I'm going to let him go with just saying to you, he was there too. Then the 12, again, all these guys that ran away. There was one guy, though. that Jesus could have appeared to and changed everything for him, but he didn't want it. He didn't believe it, and he felt so bad that he actually killed himself. And his name was Judas. He literally sold Jesus out for money. Friends, I don't care where you've been. I don't care what you've done. If you're still breathing, you can come to Jesus. Because he's come to you. He rose from the dead. You could take him right now at his word and be saved. Uh-oh, Aaron's preaching. There's more. 500 brothers and sisters. He just showed himself. He wasn't trying to keep it. Let's put it in the corner. We're going to keep this on the down low. No, now he's showing everybody. And then James, Jesus' half-brother. I don't know if you remember this, but they had different dads. Jesus' dad was the Most High God. James' dad was a pretty cool guy named Joseph. And they didn't believe in him at all. His brothers thought he was a joke. But then when they saw him raised from the dead, James and his brother Jude, they started following Jesus hardcore. They didn't just call him big bro. They called him Lord and Savior. I'm the oldest of four boys. I've never been called Lord and Savior. And it's good because I'm not either of those things. And then you got the apostles. These are messengers, sent ones. And finally, Paul. Paul was the most crazy convert of all. He was a card-carrying Christian killer, and he was out to stop Christianity. He was a Jewish leader, and he believed that this was a false Messiah. And so he's like, nope, you can't do this. You can't follow him. You can't do this. And so he literally was there when the first martyr for Christianity got killed, named Stephen. And he was holding coats so guys could get full range of motion to throw as many rocks as possible until Stephen died. And then he got all these papers from the authorities, and he went door to door trying to find Christians to incarcerate them, to torture them, and to kill them. And on one trip, Jesus finally had had enough. And he said, hey, what are you doing? From heaven, Jesus had risen from the dead. He appears to him, and he's like, whoa, who is that? He goes, you're persecuting me. But who are you? I'm Jesus. And he repented right then and there. You know what repentance is. It's no longer do what you're doing. Turn around and follow him. And they did. And he continued to tell people, and we're reading it today. And listen to what, in his own words, what he said about how crazy it is that he would actually be able to be saved. Last of all, verse 8, as to one untimely born, he also appeared to me. For I'm the least of the apostles. I'm unworthy to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it wasn't me, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believed. Look, I'm not Peter, I'm not Paul, I'm a disciple by the grace of God. My life, I could bore you or excite you with how jacked up my life was before my eyes were opened to the good news of Jesus Christ. But I've been changed by the good news of Jesus Christ. Have you been changed by the gospel? Maybe add your name to this group of people that for centuries, thousands of years, have been transformed by the grace of God. The Lord really is risen. And his good news really does change people. We got a group of people right here that'd be willing to step up and tell you. And so I'll ask Christians in the house, those who've been transformed by the grace of God, who's willing to tell their story to somebody if they will even ask? We got 2, 3, 4, 5 of us, 7, 10 of us. There's some people up in the top row too. You guys, we are the bearers of good news. There's some bad news in this place, but let's look at the end. We'll fast forward to the end of 1 Corinthians 15 and see how Paul, this changed man, says it looks like, what it looks like for us to be new. 1 Corinthians 15:50, I tell you this, brothers and sisters, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. What? That sounds a little bit like Dr. Seuss. And so let me say to you, he's saying, look, you can't just earn heaven on your own. You can't come off the shelf as a food item that perishes and somehow become imperishable. It's got to be God's grace that does it. You guys, in 1975, a movie came out that changed swimming for a whole lot of people for a long time. Anybody know? Jaws. This big, huge, great white shark, right? And some of you have been and seen the ride, and that freaked you out too. Well, this guy is throwing chum in the water. It's just bloody mess, and he's trying to get this great white shark. And people are like, I've seen so many sharks. It's not that big deal. And he's cranky, and he's just making, like, life miserable for the captain. And he throws something, and then he finally looks out, and there's this big, huge mouth going, hey, right? It's a shark. And he's like, oh, and he goes back up and he says something that stood out to me again today. He says to the captain, you're going to need a bigger boat. That's what this verse says. Look, you can't do it on your own. You're going to need a bigger boat. And God doesn't expect you to do it on your own because he knows you can't. That's why his son died for our sins. So behold, verse 51, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised, imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Your souls can be set free and your body will follow. One day, what we had here will no longer be recognizable. It'll be gone. It'll be swallowed up in victory. And that was assured to us by Jesus. And so he says in verse 55, oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? I don't want to get lost here in a second, but I want to tell you a story. I believe that many of you are feeling death's pain, feeling the sting of it. And you're wondering, how can I feel set free? His name is Jesus. There was a little girl that was so excited to go on this picnic with her daddy. Her mama actually made a dress to match the little cloth that they were eating on. And they were having a blast. Little girl and daddy, so beautiful. Pretty soon, though, a bee comes in and tries to join the picnic. And the little girl loses her ever-loving mind because she's allergic to bees. And she freaks out. And her daddy does a little Mr. Miyagi and catches it. And then eventually he lets it go. And she goes, Daddy, why did you let it go? And he shows her his hand. And the stinger was in his hand. He took the sting. Jesus took the sting. There's no longer anything that can separate you from your Father because of Jesus. Death has been swallowed up in victory. The sting of death is sin. The power of sin is the law. The law just points out that you can't do it on your own. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brothers and sisters, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. So how can you move towards Jesus today? Some of you need to accept the fact that the good news is good news because the bad news is real bad, but the good news is better. Jesus did what he said he did, and so you confess, I needed you to die for my sins. You're the Lord. I believe that you rose from the dead. You've set me free. And so you confess, and you're saved. And then you walk it out. And walking it out, you need to know more about Jesus. Maybe you come to that class that we're doing at 10:45, starting on the 14th. Maybe you come and confront some of what you've learned about Jesus with what the Bible actually says. Some of you are like, I'm Bible, I don't even know if I believe that. But you did believe the good news, so let's start there. And you start to read the word, you start to know it, you start to share it, you start to be taught it. Maybe you get discipled by somebody. That means somebody mentors you and points you to Jesus, and you help them follow Jesus too. But for many of you, you're at that spot already, and your next thing is what this last verse says right here. Always abound in the work of the Lord. Some of you have been so bummed out about church, so bummed out about how people act, so bummed out about how Christians have blown it, and yet you're a Christian. I don't gotta go to church to be a Christian. I just came here because my mama asked me to. Be a part of the body that makes a difference all over the world, including this little part of the world. Serve. Give of yourself. Abound in the work. It's not in vain. God doesn't go, oh, you didn't have the kind of success that whatever person had. No, you follow me. You walk with me. I will fill you up to overflowing. And it's not in vain. Are you changed by the gospel? I didn't have time to share all of my story with you, but I can tell you right now, nothing apart from the grace of God allows me to make a difference in anybody's life. And by his grace, I've been able to make a difference, and so many people have made a difference in mine. You too. You don't have to get up front and stand in front of people and look like an egg. You can actually go wherever you need to go today. And then finally, and this is fun, but it's just something really cool about it. Jesus was straight up Jewish, and he lived according to all the laws. He's the only one that kept all the laws. And when he died and rose from the dead, he completed all of that requirement, and all we have to do is believe. And even so, his buddy Peter, who had changed so much, one day was told by God in a vision, you can eat whatever you want to eat. And he's like, no, I can't. I'm a Jew. We got some kosher laws. And he's telling God, he's arguing with God, and God had to do them three times so he would understand it. And finally, that's how Zach Day can love celebrating Easter with ham. And me too. And you too. Or you don't. Oh, I just like Brussels sprouts. Good for you. It's a little weird, but good for you. Friends, you can be free, and you can live free, and you can help others to live free too. Have you been changed by the gospel? Why not? And if you have, let's keep living it out. We'd love to have you back. We're actually here just about every Sunday, except a Sunday when we go over to the gazebo and get yelled at by the community. We love you, but Jesus loves you most. Let's pray. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for the gorgeous weather. Thank you so much that you are the truth. Thank you so much that we can be set free, that we can be strong and courageous and contagious with the good news. Thank you that nothing can separate us from your love. And so I pray that we go from here changed by the gospel and helping others to be changed as well. God, I pray this in your perfect name. Amen.